Morning, everyone. Welcome to Behind the Door series number 7. Glad you are here. It's our LMB's idea of trying to break the stigma of counseling by giving you some ideas about what we do, how we do it, so you can use it in your own life or with your child if you have one of your clients, or with yourself. I need to pull up my files here. If you are not on our email thread, I would suggest go into the website, and that way you can subscribe to our email list. You'll get our newsletters, but you also get slides when we send them out for things like this or other webinars that we may be doing. Like always, we appreciate you being here. I am excited about today's topic. We use it a ton in our practice, and it's kind of the basis for a lot of things that we do from a neuroscience perspective. So I'm going to pull up my slides real quick. So I've got them. If you don't have them, I'll send them out again through our email, and you can just hop on there. They're also under our tools section with the website, so they're pretty easy to find there as well. And they are in on the YouTube channel. Sade and Min did a presentation about technology with video games, cell phone use, those kind of things, and they are also on those slides as well. So that's probably a 20-minute video, I believe, or 30-minute video that you can check out. Strongly recommend that. We use a lot of the same materials throughout the practice, and kind of you'll see this neuroscience. If you're ever in the office, you'll see just kind of see this stuff pop up. But today, just wanted to talk about the habit loop. So the idea, and this is applicable to anything that we do, and if you have the slides, the one I'm on right now is just the habit loop itself. And then I'll go into the next slide, which is just more about pruning. The way it works is you have a cue, so something happens, and it could be the alarm. And so the alarm goes off, and then the next thing that you do is you turn the alarm off, and you go brush your teeth. And then, you know, you brush your teeth and it can be an immediate reward, which is your mouth, your breath smells good. Long-term is you don't get cavities, hopefully, and you don't develop gum disease. But over time, you do this enough and you just routinely start to do it and you don't have to think about it. So I've always used the example a lot with our younger clients and their parents is you think of potty training. So a cue of, hey, I need to go to the potty or the bathroom. You may incentivize them. You may incentivize them afterwards. But the routine of, oh, I need to go to the bathroom. We go to the bathroom. Then you go to the bathroom. You get the reward. And it causes you to want to do it again. And over time, you pull back that reward. Or it could just be the reward of, you know, not wetting your pants if you're a 2 or 3 year old, however old you start potty training. But the idea is that there's a cue, then it's followed by a behavior, and then you get a reward. So the flip side of this and how we use it in our therapy is you think of anxiety. So you've got a cue, which is something that makes you feel uncomfortable. You do a behavior, which is you may avoid doing the thing that was making you uncomfortable. Or you may, it could be a positive thing or a negative thing in a sense, like you could start listening to music to avoid the thing that's making you uncomfortable. Maybe you're uncomfortable in social situations, so the behavior is that you pick up your phone and look at something interesting on one of your social media feeds, or you start looking at a video, or you start listening to music. And then the reward is that you don't have to feel uncomfortable anymore, so you've escaped that situation. So if you do that enough times, it builds up what's called automation. And so the more you do it, the more likely you are to do it. That's why it's called the habit loop. So it can be good habits. It can be bad habits. The things obviously we work here with at L&B Counseling is to change the bad habits with new habits, with good habits. So the same thing with the cue. You know, you get this cue, you're in a bigger group, or maybe it's a new setting. And you feel uncomfortable, the behavior that we try to work on is challenging that feeling that you're uncomfortable by doing something different, which may be join the group, say something, and then you get the reward of that you took on the challenge, and therefore you feel dopamine because you did something that was hard, and you may also feel some serotonin because you're now doing something in a social setting, and maybe people responded to you in a positive way. And if you keep doing that over time, the cue of feeling uncomfortable gets replaced with, hey, I can do this, and you feel confident. So we're always messing with the behavior and the reward. We may not change the cue necessarily, and that's where if you've got access to these slides, that's where the next slide comes into play, which is just called neural pruning. Let me get back to it. So if you're looking at the slide, it's a colorful slide. It's really cool. But the idea is that if you look at the different ages, you got birth, you got 6 years, and you got 14 years old. So it's at birth, there's not a lot of neural pathways because there's just not a lot of need for that network. You know, you're pretty routine at that point as far as things that you're doing. And your life is pretty structured because other people are doing them for you. But if you see when you're going from birth to six, at 6 years old, there's a ton of neural pathways. The reason for that is, you know, from 2 to 6, you're exploring the world. You're getting into school, maybe preschool, TK, but you're doing a ton of learning. That's potty training goes on there. Sometimes you're in your own bed. Depending on the world that you're in and people you're around, there's just a lot to absorb. The brain is absorbing language, and you're picking up numbers, tons and tons and tons and tons of learning. So there's this vast network. And what we call with network, we really mean, the way I try to relate it in practice is you just think of roads. There's all these roads going throughout your brain, and they're all kind of the same size because you're not sure what you're going to need. But the more you do it, going back to that habit loop, the more that road gets developed. So the easiest example for that is, you know, you're right-handed or left-handed, and maybe a few instances people can use both hands very well, but for the most part, you're using your right hand or your left hand. And so that pathway, that road of you, for myself, I'm right-handed, using that right-handed road, it gets developed. And over time, it turns into like a super highway. So it becomes a default mechanism. I don't even have to think about what I'm doing, how I'm doing it. It just happens. And that's that automation process that we were talking about. So in a sense, the left hand road gets pruned, because it's no longer needed. It's not something that I'm going to be using on a daily basis. So it's just not developed, it's not there, and it gets pruned. So if you look at from ages to 6 to 14, you can see that those networks get pruned because at that point, you know, you're doing the things that you're doing and you've been doing them for a while. That's why they say, you know, language development is better at 7 or 8 because of that pathway and those neural networks are still fresh. And they can be developed a lot easier. So going back to the habit loop, you know, the more you do something based upon that cue, the more that road gets developed. So for instances with depression or anxiety, or even kids that sometimes we work with that we say turn into the Hulk. So very spirited individuals that sometimes get into power struggles. They develop that cue, and that cue triggers them to have a behavior, and that behavior turns into a reward. The reward may be if somebody that turned into the Hulk, they were able to get out of what they were doing. A great example is, you know, the classic example is a kid in line at a store. There's the cue, there's the candy in front of me. The behavior is, well, I'm going to make a scene. I'll ask first, get what I want, and then after that, if I don't get a one-on, the behavior will escalate. So I will, you know, turn into a jellyfish or an amoeba and just lay right there on the floor. You can't pick me up. And the reward would be, hopefully, their intention is that they get the candy. So if you do that, they're going to keep doing that because that pathway is being developed and they're learning that, hey, if I do this thing, good or bad, I get what I want. It works the same way for anxiety, like we were talking about. If there is some of the clients we work with are uncomfortable with weather, they look at weather a lot. So hurricanes, tornadoes, thunderstorms, lightning. The cue will be there's a cloud outside. The behavior is I'm not going to go outside, and the reward is they don't have to deal with feeling vulnerable or uncomfortable. So if you do that enough, then eventually you stop going outside. Same could be true for some of the kids that we work with that are uncomfortable with insects. But because the cue is this thing could sting me, it would hurt, so I'm going to avoid it. The way we try to challenge that is, and the way we explain it is, we have to build new roads. The roads that that we need do not exist. So you go back to that habit loop of we are going to kind of what the way I say it is brick by brick, which means behavior one at a time, one at a time, one at a time, slowly build a new road despite the same cue. So just because there's a cloud in the sky doesn't mean that we're not going to go outside. We're going to use information data to help us decide if it's safe to go outside. Just because we go outside doesn't mean we're going to get stung. Just because a bee comes around us doesn't mean we're going to get stung. So we slowly work on a new habit loop, which allows them to have a new road or a new neural pathway in their brain. And they're going to default to the one that they've been using because that's the one that they're automated to do. So that's why the process can be easy to explain, but really hard to do. But once you start doing it for 30 to 60 days, you can start seeing that road take off, and it slowly becomes the default. As long as everything stays kind of as it is. But that's the idea of the neural pathway and the habit loop is that if you keep doing these things and keep working on them, keep practicing them on a daily basis, over time you're going to have a really good road. I think with us, we say if you'll do these things and work on these things really hard, in a matter of 11 sessions, you will see a discernible difference between where you were and where you are now. And that's why we track all that stuff on metrics, such as frequency of those symptoms, duration of how long they last, and then the intensity of them. So you can see the progress that you're making, or for the caregiver, that they can see the progress that their kid is making. So the habit loop is really fundamental to what we do and how we do it. It's really important to understand the science and that it takes a long time to build that road, and because the other roads were built. So even I always say the example of I'm right-handed. If you start brushing your teeth left-handed, over time you're going to get better at it. You might not ever be as good at it as you are with your right hand, especially at my age, but you will get progressively better in a place where you can be confident and not just continue to kind of jab your teeth and your mouth and your gums. But it takes a while to get to that place. When you first do it, you have to really think about what you're doing, how you're doing it, how you're holding the toothbrush. And then over the course of a couple of weeks, you just get better at it. That's a pretty easy example when you start using emotion and those other cues that tell us that something's really bad or something's really scary. It just shows you that it's harder to build the road, but if you stick with it, there's no reason the road can't be built. And so that's what we're basing our proven process off of, is this science. This neuroscience and the habit loop. And when we explain it away, people have a really easy time understanding what we're trying to get them to do and why we're trying to get them to do it and how it will fundamentally look once they start practicing it. So it's a really cool thing. We love talking about it. I love talking about it. And it really helps frame what the problem is and how we're going to attack the problem and what it'll look like. Because it's never really finished. The road's really never finished. You have to keep building it from here on out because that other road is there. And sometimes it's just easier to default to that road. So I hope y'all have enjoyed this. I hope you let me know if you have any questions. I know there's one question about a PowerPoint. We do have a PowerPoint of the presentation. It's under our presentations on the website. And then we also have it on our, you can find it on Facebook or YouTube, probably most of our social media tabs. The video that talks about the tech, it's called the technology presentation that Min and Sade did, that goes into a lot of the science and then kind of what to look for if there's some emerging problems or some addiction issues, some of the things that we've talked about before in some of the other series. So it will be all on there. And then over the next, I think, week or two, we're going to launch our new website, and it will be on there as well. It'll be really easy to find some of our past presentations and our past webinars. So that will be there. Let me know if there's any other questions. I'll give everybody a minute or two. I try to keep all this stuff brief. Right now we're at 15 minutes. I know your time is valuable. You've got a lot going on. So we try to pack in as much information as we can. And that way, if you have other questions, you can follow up with me or any of your therapists if you need more of an explanation. Okay. So I don't see any more questions. I'd always appreciate you being here. We love doing this stuff. We're very passionate about it. We think it helps tremendously, especially when we speak of it from a more of a science term, so you can understand what we're asking you to do and why we're asking you to do it. And that's kind of the point of this whole series, is just kind of give you a glimpse of what we're doing behind the door, so you can think about it yourself, or with your loved one. And if there are things that you're wanting us to talk more about, please feel free to reach out to me or the other therapist. We'd be happy to include it. Next week, we're going to talk more about popularity and the science behind popularity, and maybe why the kids and teenagers do the things that they do from a fundamental place. So that way you can kind of understand why, your teenagers and your kids are acting the way they are at times. So hopefully you'll be able to join us for that. I look forward to it. We're going to continue to do Thursdays at 11. Seems to be a good time. There was one more question. Should we develop a list of behaviors? So I'm not real sure about your question. If you could, okay, anticipate issues, so develop a menu of behaviors. The idea, the way and I guess it's a little different depending on what you're asking, but with anxiety, we use that shoulder technique to, when a cue arrives, to decide if we're going to attack it by using the shoulder technique, or if we're going to do something to distract ourselves because maybe it's not a good time and place to fight that anxiety. And it also could be true for if you're feeling down or sad. Maybe it's not a good time and place to deal with that. Maybe you're in the car, maybe you're on a plane, maybe you're in the middle of something that, maybe it's the middle of dinner and it's just not the time and place. But we use those decision tree and then the shoulder technique, which I talked about in the first Behind the Door series, to decide how we're going to deal with that situation. And just by stopping and thinking about it, you've now changed the pathway that you were on and started building a different pathway. Instead of just automatically responding and reacting, which is that automation piece, you now have options, and just by pausing, you've started building a different road. And then if you start attacking or dealing with some of those symptoms, now you're building a different road. Especially the tools that you're coming up with your therapist. There should be a list of tools that are specific to you or your loved one that's coming to see us to deal with those moments. Along with the shoulder technique, you still use the tools, or you use the shoulder technique of listening to the left shoulder, which is the shoulder of facts, to help you change the pathway and not avoid the thing that is making you feel intimidated or scared. So hopefully that answers the question. If there are any others, please feel free to reach out to me, like I said, or any of your therapists. We'd be happy to follow up with you and talk about any of the things that you're interested in. I appreciate y'all being here. I appreciate everyone's views and coming to look at the Behind the Door series, and we will keep it going. But like I said, if there's things you'd like to know or learn more about, we'd be happy to try to talk about those things or point you in the right direction to maybe there's someone better that is explaining it than us. That's kind of our goal too. If we are not able to do it, or don't have enough information, we want to give you the right information. So it doesn't always have to come from us. So thanks for being here. I hope y'all have a great Thursday and are staying safe. And we will see you next week. Bye.